At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Let's talk. Let's talk. John Brown.
And we have reached that stage of the show where we try and disentangle the Spanish tax system. Last time it was Miguel Angel, today all is good in the world because Claudia has come off the beach to join us before. And good morning to you, Claudia.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Look at the colour of you.
I'm turning to...
You're turning. You're golden. How's your summer going so far?
So far, really well. As I was telling you, I went to Mad Cool. I saw my favourite band, Pearl Jam.
Yes.
And Eddie, as I was telling you, said goodbye to me and sent him his heart. I love him. I also saw Smashing Pumpkins. The technicians, of the band were saying in the hotel I was, and you've heard many times how he has an ego and all these things about Billy that they say. Yeah. It's not true. He was fantastic. He was lovely. He even spoke. You know, he never speaks.
Yeah.
They love Spain. All these bands love Spain.
Of course.
They just love it.
What's not to love? And you went to see the band that I wanted to see and couldn't get to see in Fuengirola. And you're just going, I can't believe you didn't make it. It's like, yeah, guess what? Car trouble.
I know. No, they were not that good.
Of course, they were absolutely brilliant. Right then, summer is going well. Miguel Angel was in last time. I think Spain were playing really well in the Euros, so he was happy.
Yes. How are you?
I'm fine. No, you see, he's a Welsh father, Scottish mother. It sounds like, and I'm a rugby guy or a motor car guy. So yeah, well, fine. It was like I said to people, I didn't watch the final because I wasn't feeling very well. But also living up in the Campo, you just open your windows in Coín and you could hear the cheering. So, yeah. And then, I mean, Spain, I remember being here when Spain won the Euros last, in 2006 or 2008.
Yeah, 2006 and 8.
Ten was the World Cup.
Six and eight.
I remember in 2008 because I was in Antequera, I was in Umbladero, and again I didn't watch the match. I just kept the windows open, and watching. I remember the World Cup and just being in Estepona and just the scenes and the scenes everywhere. I mean, it's fabulous.
Well, I have two nephews that were born in England, in the UK.
Yeah.
Okay, Spanish mother.
Yeah.
And the oldest one, 7 years old, was supporting England. The youngest, you still can convince him he's free. He was supporting Spain.
Right.
So when it's finished, he's playing for the Chelsea, actually. So he's into football, the one of 7 years old.
He's got good taste, that boy.
So he was devastated and crying like you can't imagine. And the other one, the little one, the one of 3 years, he said, it doesn't matter if Spain wasn't in the championship, you would have won.
Ah, you see? There you go. There you go. Well, Simon Hunter, who currently writes for the Times amongst others, and is our man in Madrid. Of course, he's got all his. He was surrounded by kids. Okay. All his sons came and their friends, okay. And so he kept a video diary, and it's hysterical about all these little. He's there in his England shirt. It was good stuff. Right then, listen. You're here today to talk about a series of tips.
Exactly.
To take into account if you are moving to Spain.
Yes, now that the income tax campaign has finished, I thought it was important to help people who are planning to live in Spain or who are already living in Spain. And I thought that I would help them with some sort of tips, for example, about obtaining a digital certificate.
Yes, indeed. Now, what is a digital certificate? I know we've all sort of heard of them, but not exactly sounds good. It's like a digital... Is it what you need to be a digital nomad? I mean, what is the...
You need it for everything okay. Apparently.
Yeah, go on.
So it is an electronic ID that enables you to manage a wide range of processes that you install in your computer, this digital certificate, or in any device. And with that, you can access especially public offices. And with that, you will be able to empadronar, the empadronamiento. You will be able to look at your payment of your local taxes, the right. IBI, the basura, see if you've got any debts. You will be able to submit your tax declarations up to the tax office, which is really important. And, for example, make appointments. Remember, in COVID, you needed it to obtain the passport to be able to fly out of Spain. So it is a very important document in Spain.
And mainly we're using them in this particular context for dealing with the tax office. Do you have to have one for filing personal tax declarations?
Very, very good question. Well, you see that if you are self-employed, so you've got a business or you have a company, it is compulsory. You need to have it. The tax office obliges you. If you are not, it's not compulsory, but we really think that it is the way to go, that they are going to make it compulsory. And it's a tool that makes the filing of your tax returns very neat, because when you have it, you can actually access your space in the tax office, and you can see all the tax declarations you submitted in the past. You can see the history of any letters being sent to you and your replies to the tax office. So it's a very handy tool for the tax declaration filing.
And also, it's a practical tool to have, presumably. I mean, however... Like myself, there are some people who are old school, if you like, and they'd rather not have a digital certificate, or they prefer not to share it. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Usually it's not the case, okay, but there are people who do not want it. And in this case, well, normally their tax advisor will have one, and therefore what they have to do is ask for the service of fiscal representation so that their tax advisor can use their digital certificate to submit their declaration. Right. Additionally, normally if they're acting as your fiscal representative, if you've got an unreliable address to receive your notifications from the tax office, you can ask them also for them to receive their letters on your behalf.
Do you think that's sort of necessary to do both?
It's entirely personal decision, but of course, if you do have an unreliable address, it's definitely you need to have a reliable address. Okay, now if you do not want to have one, well, use the one of the company that represents you. But if you do not have an issue, definitely get one.
Okay. What else can you use within reason? Digital, because I mean, there are many uses. Digital certificate. I have to slow down. Are there any other uses for the digital certificate?
Yeah, very recently, the Spanish government have created a very, very useful tool, which is that you can sign notarial deeds electronically. And the you only need your digital certificate. What you do with your digital certificate, you register in a page called Portal Notarial del Ciudadano. Yeah. And there, once you registered, you look for the notary that you want. And you look for the notary and you organise an appointment with
it. For one moment, I thought then you weren't going to need a notary. And I thought, aha, we're getting rid of the notarios. But that was
no. Never going to happen. Yes. You still need the notary.
Yes, yes.
But you organise an appointment with them. Then you sign your deed within a video conference. Okay, it's brilliant. And once that is finished, you will obtain from the portal that you've registered a CSV code. And with that, you download your deed. It's brilliant.
Yeah, because obviously those of us who have had to deal with notarios know that you can spend like most of your life waiting for the notary's office. I mean,
hours. On a Friday, you don't survive.
So you can...
You stay there until Saturday.
Take a tent. No, but seriously, that means you can book in an appointment with your notary.
Yes.
That's genius. I'm sorry, Claire, that's just blown my mind.
I know.
Let's go through this, because this is important. Let's go through this again. Come on.
So you need a digital certificate.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't have one, you need to obtain it. You can contact us or anybody to obtain one for you. And with it, you register in el Portal Notarial del Ciudadano.
Right.
And once there, you look for the notary, you book your appointment, and then you have your appointment with the notary through a video conference. Then you obtain your CSV code and you download the signed documents.
And so you sign it in real time, and then you get the code. That's amazing. So you got your digital certificate. I told you. What are the tips? Do you have... What else have you got up your sleeve, as we say?
Well, this is very common, so I thought I would mention it.
Yeah.
You move here, or you're already living here, and you suddenly think, I want to rent my home. I'm going away 2 months to the UK. I want to rent it out. Well, you can't just rent it out.
Right.
When it's holiday letting, okay? So you're in Spain. You just can't do that.
Right. what do you need to comply so you don't get water pistoled by Catalan?
So that you know, the square meters of the property as a minimum has to have 25 square meters. So if you have a smaller place than that, you cannot do it.
Right.
It is compulsory for you to have a heating and cooling system. Doesn't have to be centralized, but it needs to have it.
But you can't have a mobile. Can you have? Because I think when Andalusia first brought in there, it had to be put it in the wall rather than just have a mobile one.
Yes, it has to be a real one.
A real one.
Yes, exactly. It can't
you
be
can't
just...
You can't have one of those you stick it out the window.
Exactly. It needs to have a first aid kit. Well, it needs to be furnished and all the necessary appliances. And apart from the first aid kit, very important, you need to provide them with touristic information in the property.
Leaflets
and things about that, where to go and things like that.
Okay, well, I mean, you've got your first aid kit. No, it's not the minibar. So let's make sure the property follows all of the above. Are we good to go to press click on our whatever service we're using?
Of course not.
Of course not.
You need to register for letting your property as a holiday home. So until you obtain a CTC code, you cannot rent it out. Once this is very simple, you can do it. You can ask somebody to register. It will be more simple. You need to, apart from the form you need to fill in, you need to also attach a certificación registral de dominio de la vivienda. Before, it used to be the licencia de primera ocupación, because in Marbella nobody has that, you know, because of with all the problems of the plannings. They've now relaxed it to a certificación registral de dominio de la vivienda. So once you've completed the form and you've attached this certification, you get a CTC code, and then you're good to put your property in Airbnb.
or other whatever. This can I just go? I'm going to go off thingy because, and if I remember correctly, Hacienda have also got a. You better be careful. It's because they'd like to check, don't they? They do.
We know an inspector that just goes on to the Airbnb page and they just go property by property. They just then knock the door and see what's going on. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
So there we are. We've got our certificación registral de dominio de vivienda.
Uh-huh.
Trips off the tongue. So, are we ready to go?
No.
Then laugh at me. Go on.
Because I nearly tricked you there. No. So up to now, once you've got your visitors, your guests in your home, you have to send all their passport and IDs into Hospedería de la Guardia Civil or local police. You need to send them the people, the information. Now, they are centralizing this into a Ministerio del Interior page, which you can already visit if you wanted to have a look. It's going to be compulsory on the 1st of October,
right.
And this will replace the you sending it to the local police that you're sending it to Mijas or Marbella for Girola. It will be there from the 1st of October.
So they're going to have a centralized registration. Everybody staying at registered private accommodations.
Yeah. So once you've got 24 hours to do that. It's so, you know, I get depressed. If I want to rent my property, probably people will say, oh my God, so much work. And the fines, they can go up to 30,000 euros if you haven't provided with the name of the guests. And I know people are relaxing because people are not doing anymore. You know, you go to places like in Cadiz. My friend went there the other day and nobody asked for any of her name or who we're staying. But the beginning, everybody was doing it. Right. I know my friends that rent property, they do. I know they're having problems in Fuengirola with actually assessing the police in Fuengirola with their code, but in Mijas and Marbella it works and people keep on doing it. With this new centralized registration, maybe it's going to make it easier for them to find people.
So, but once again, the Spanish, like if with the Olympics coming up in a few weeks, there were two things, leaf blowing. If there was leaf blowing, Spain would be Olympic champions.
Yeah. Oh, at 7 o'clock in the morning.
At 7 o'clock in the morning. But also registering. If there was 100 meters registration,
they will get the gold for sure.
So, empadronamiento.
Yes,
empadronamiento. We keep saying this. I don't know how many times we have told people to get on the padrón, but. Tell us, Claudia.
Yes. If you're going to live in Spain, if you're going to be tax resident, if you're going to spend more than 6 months, you should do this. It's very important. Why it's important? Because if you think, well, if I'm paying my taxes in Spain, that is sufficient. No, we're getting to a point if you ask the tax office for a certificate of tax residency to prove that you're resident, filing your tax returns as a resident is not sufficient. You also need to be registered in a padronamiento. So the tax office checks that you filed your tax returns, but they also check that you're registered. Now, if you're a non-resident, do not register, for God's sake, because it would lead into a tax inspection. There, the tax office will have that information and they'll think that you're a resident and you haven't filed a tax return as a resident. And they'll send you a letter asking why you've registered in the empadronamiento. Now you should be resident. So be careful. Register as a resident, not as a non-resident.
So, if you're resident, you need to register on the census. And if you're not resident, then don't.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do people sort of bother registering on the census if they don't live in Spain? It doesn't seem like something that people would kind of do.
Yeah, they do. I don't know why, but it seems that when they buy their property, maybe the real estate tells them to do it, but they do actually get registered there.
So, There are some advantages, aren't there, to being on the town census?
Yes, there are advantages. And maybe that's why the real estate agents actually, or people say, yeah, register. Yeah, because, for example, a big one is your local taxes, the famous IBI, similar to the council tax in the UK. Well, you get a reduction, a big amount of reduction, some places 40%. Other places, like in Fuengirola, for example, you can travel in the bus for free. Other places, like Benavis, you get tickets to the Malaga football.
Really?
Yeah, for free. When they play in Malaga, the Benavis, which is the richer, they say, yes, in Spain, they give them tickets. So, yes, there's some advantages, and that will explain why some people who should not be there are registered. But be careful with that.
Right then, okay. Now... It's summer, it's hot, you've got your in a place and you just think, it's too hot to clean, I'm going to get pick a name out, Paddy, to help me yes, clean, and I'll pay her €10 an hour to do my ironing. And that's what could possibly go wrong with that.
Okay, you could be fined up to 7,100 because domestic employees should be registered in the Social Security. It is strictly regulated in Spain.
So if I'm paying, if I'm paying a cleaner, do I have to register as Social Security?
Yes, you need to register in Social Security and you need to have a contract in place explaining the hours that she works, explaining her holidays, blah, 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 like you have with TRE, the same, but it's simpler. It's not that complex.
I see, yeah, exactly. For me, definitely. Because, I think the cleaners would be that damn sight more qualified than a radio presenter. But, training? I mean, qualifications?
Yes.
Safety instructions?
Yes, as well. As an employee, the employer needs to make sure that they have been trained for safety in their home.
If a cleaner came to my place, trust me, they'd need biohazard training. And also with the goddaughters, who are currently 13 and 17, we found 10 towels under the bed yesterday. 10.
10.
Oh. And a couple of plates. So,
God.
Right. Morning, girls. Ten towels. Anyway, any more wisdom for the summer, please, my
Oh, family. Yeah. I started mentioning that we've just finished the campaign, the income tax campaign. I have to finish talking about the income tax campaign. It always happens. Please, if you're going to be resident, if you're going to file a tax return, you need to have a bank account opened up in Spain that is either a collaborator with the tax office and it is opened as a resident and linked to your NIE number. If not, and you're going to pay, because remember the taxes are paid through your bank account in Spain, and if they're not linked, you're going to be fined 20%. So please remember to do that.
Right. And just a quick question. We sometimes have family who stay at our apartment for a couple of months. It's free. They just give us a couple of euros for electric. Is there anything that we need to do, i.e. give their details to the local police? This is tax return. So for tax thing, I think you're okay with that one. And in terms of local police, I think Myra's coming on Friday, so we'll deal with that one with Myra because she will know.
Yeah, Myra, if you're not going to
charge them,
if you're not going to charge them any fees, and it's not going to be an Airbnb, you don't need to go for the license or anything. They're just your friends. Just
right.
That's
then.
It. Yeah.
People want to find out more information, go to the excellent Spence Clark website, which is
952-82. Oh no, you asked for the webpage. Sorry, www.spenceclark.com. Spence with an E, Clark with an E.
Exactly. Once. Listen, have a wonderful summer. We will. When will I see you again?
Yeah, next month. I'll be back next month.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
Well, as you went and had a wonderful weekend going to Mad Cool, and I saw the bands I wanted to see. Claudia, thanks for your time.
Thank you.